Mark chapter number 2, book of Mark chapter number 2. I've actually entitled the message tonight, Trust to Obey. Beginning in verse number 1, let's read this marvelous account here. It says, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the tremendous word. We ask for your blessing tonight as we delve into a very, very important area of thought tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Question tonight, before we say anything else, what do you believe is the greatest need in America? What is the greatest need that we have in this nation right now?
Discipline.
Anybody else? What's that?
Repentance.
Okay.
God.
Okay. Roseanne?
Reverence for life,
you said? Okay. Anybody else?
Respect.
I believe we could put all of those things under one word. I think. That word that I would use tonight is revival. Revival. Revival means a renewal of life within us. And we're going to look tonight at what I believe we could describe as revival in our hearts and our lives. We find something very interesting as we study through the Word of God, and that is that dependence upon God accesses the Holy Spirit of God's enablement as the power to actually obey. Did you catch that? It's really the whole gist of what we're looking at tonight. God dependence accesses Spirit enablement as the power to actually obey. I would say, you know, what a blessing. There is hope. So often we say, I can't do it. Yes, we can. Through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, we can. Here's a paralyzed man that received strength when he, by faith, reached for the bed. And so will we when we depend on the Spirit of God for that impossible step in our lives. The Holy Spirit of God is our enabling partner. And we must depend upon His power. I believe tonight, all of us say, yes, I understand it. I believe that. In dependent upon that, it's exchanging our strength, which is actually weakness, for the Spirit's strength. How many fail in Christian life? Huh? Now, we looked at last week and we saw something very interesting. That is, we are in the image of God, and we are made perfect. But we also find that we fail in some things. And there's a reason for that. It's not because of God, it's because of ourselves. And so when you and I learn how to access the Spirit strength, we can live perfect lives, not just by position, but by practice as well. The Spirit-filled life is not us becoming strong, but recognizing that we are weak and casting ourselves upon He who is the strong one. It is to depend on the Spirit to live His strength through our weak but yielded vessel. Sometimes we sing the song, "I surrender all." And probably we don't really do that. But full surrender is living in His strength, yielding our bodies as a vessel to Him, allowing Him to empower it. You see, the Spirit of God wants to show us the direction to go, but He also wants to give us the power to go there. It's not just the roadmap, but it's the gas for the engine, if you so please. And that's what God wants us to have in our lives. How do we do that? Well, the phrase that we'll use often, trust to obey. Think about, first of all, the provision of power that God has given us. Christ, I believe, is a great example. We find that He was first conceived by the Holy Spirit of God. And certainly you and I, we are conceived by the Spirit. We're born of the Spirit, are we not, when we get saved? In Matthew 1:20, it says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." We find in Luke chapter 2, verse 40, "The child grew, waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." We find immediately after he was baptized, the Holy Spirit descended upon him. And we learn that the next event that took place is that Spirit led him into the wilderness of temptation. In Luke 3:22 says, "The Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven, which said, Thou art my beloved Son, and thee I am well pleased." Chapter 4, verse 1, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." After his return from that, from which, by the way, through the power of the Spirit of God, he was able to defeat Satan and all of his temptation. But we find it then he teaches in the power of the Holy Ghost. Luke chapter 4, verse 14 says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee." Think about that. So we're talking about the Son of God. It says, "He returned in the power of the Spirit," it's capital S, referring to the Holy Spirit of God, "into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all." It is here that we find he reads from Isaiah that proclaims really the rest of his earthly ministry. In Luke 4, verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." And after saying these things, he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." There's an interesting thing about the Lord Jesus. As he comes to this earth, he in essence sets aside the use of his attributes, that of his inherent deity at incarnation. And we find that he did all that he did here upon the earth in the power of the Spirit. Listen to what Philippians tells us in chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, and verse 8 as well. It says, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross." And we find that he was one made like unto us. How did he do it all? Through the power of the Spirit of God. Think about this. The work on the cross is attributed to the Spirit. You ever think about that? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" What do we see? We find that Jesus Christ, he is God. He's God in the flesh. And yet at the same time, He depended upon the Spirit of God to minister in and through him. If he needs that, do we not? We need that power in our lives. There is a promise of the Spirit that was given. On Resurrection Sunday, Jesus gave them the Holy Spirit. In John 20, verse 22, it says, "When he had said thus, he breathed on them, saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Yet some days later, he told them to tarry for the power of the Holy Spirit." Luke 24, 49 says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." By the way, when he gives us that verse, we find at this particular time, the disciples were really defeated men. And he says, "I want you to tarry for the power of the Spirit of God." And really, it teaches me something. We have, at salvation, the indwelling Christ or the Spirit of God. But we also, if we're going to see that power accessed, we must believe God. It says in Galatians 3:14 that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit, listen to these words, through faith. It's not an inevitable thing. It's a responsibility that you and I, by faith, in other words, we trust in the Spirit to lead us and to enable us. And thus we are trusting to obey him or to do as he desires for us to do. We have a great need for the power of God. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says, "Be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Be filled with the Spirit. Not only to yield to the leadership of the Spirit, but we must depend upon his enablement to follow that leadership. What do we need in America? We need a revival. All the things you folks mentioned, they're not going to come while we are dead. They don't come in our lives because so often what happens? Oh, we know where the Spirit wants us to go, but we don't have the power to go there. We know that God wants us to witness to people, but we back out and we get scared of it. And it doesn't happen in our lives because we're not dependent upon his enablement to do so. So what does God want us to do? To truly surrender to him. And that happens when we depend upon not only his leadership, but also his enablement. One doesn't believe in Jesus until he depends upon him as Savior. Is that not true? And if we're not depending on the Holy Spirit of God, he's not really the one who is enabling us. We must depend upon him. And thus it becomes, we need to trust him to obey what God wants us to do. In other words, we need to trust him for the enablement to accomplish it. In the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." That's an interesting comment, because what God is showing us here is that the flesh can be overcome if we're walking in the Spirit. But too often the flesh wins in our lives. And no doubt you have figured out your flesh is very strong. And what do you need? You need the power of the Holy Spirit. You need to walk in that Spirit. That command really reveals to us it's not automatic. So how do we do that? How do we walk in the Spirit? I like what it says in Colossians chapter 2, verse number 6. "As ye have therefore received Christ," he's saying just like you did with him, "as ye receive Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him." You receive his leadership. You depend upon him for the power to do so. This is trusting to obey. That's what the lame man did. Jesus told him what to do. And so the man, he began to do it, and God enabled him to do it. Our problem is we don't really believe God will enable us, and we don't grab the bed and pick it up and start walking. And thus we find ourselves in this position where we're ever at the mercy of our flesh. How do we access this power of God? I believe it revolves around three basic words. One is ask, one is take, and one is act. We need to ask. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. It says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? This word ask is in the present tense, indicating it's a continuous action. And it's interesting, as you go through the book of Acts, you find that they asked many, many times, and God blessed and God filled them, and they did marvelous things. Chapter 1, verse 14, chapter 2, verse 4, 431, you just see it over and over. We need to ask. Ask God for his power to do what he wants us to do. And then secondly, this perhaps is a difficult one, it is to take it. In Acts 1:8, he says, but ye shall receive power. It doesn't say given power, it says ye shall receive power. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. In other words, if we're going to receive it, take by faith the power of the Spirit of God, regardless of your feelings. I look back many years ago, and one of the things that I had a difficult time was with this thing of forgiveness, because I didn't always feel like forgiving people. Have you been there? But I discovered something. I discovered it's an act of the will. Though I didn't feel like it, I knew I was supposed to do so. And with every intent in the heart, though inside I was feeling like, boom, I said, I forgive. It's an interesting thing. God later gave me the feelings to go with what I had acted upon, because it was an act of the will. And so you and I, if we're going to take that power, we need to, it's an action we do, and we receive it. Take by faith the power of the Spirit, regardless of how you feel about it. So we need to ask, we need to take, and the last word I use is act. Very, very simple. But what's it say in that verse? Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Shall be. Let me ask you a question. How are you going to get the gospel to somebody you want to hear it? What do you got to do? Do you wave a sign? What do you do? Most commonly, what are we going to do? We're going to talk. We're going to talk. Okay? Now, if we would ask God and we say, hey, that power of God is there present with me, I've asked him for it. Next thing we need to do is act upon it. Just like that paralytic man, Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. He believed him, he acted upon it, he grabbed his bed, and God gave him the strength to take it up and to walk. And so if we're going to find the power of the Spirit of God in our witnessing, we have to, next thing to do, is open our mouths and to start speaking. Now folks say, well, I don't know what to say. Well, let me ask you this. Does the Holy Spirit of God know what to say? Does he know what will prick the heart of some individual? I've been amazed through the years to some things that I've heard people say, some things that I have said, and folks afterwards, they say, man, that really gripped my heart. And I thought, really? The Spirit of God brought that through and used it. as long as our mouth is shut, we're never going to experience the power of God to speak to some heart and see him come to know Christ as Savior. That's why we become fruitless. We need to open the mouth. He will enable you. Some say, well, I'm not a good speaker. Well, join the club. I'm president. Matter of fact, if you want to join the club, I'm also the treasurer, so pay up. It's big bucks. No, it ain't. Just act upon it. Whatever it is God directed you, he has given you the direction. He also, when we want it, he gives us the enablement to do it. Is there anything he wants you to do that you can't do? Quite frankly, yes, everything in our strength. But we can in his strength. Pretty neat stuff. God wants to show us the direction, and God wants us to give us the power to get there. This is trusting to obey. He said it, and so now I trust that when I obey it, he will empower me to accomplish it. It's simple, but we make it complicated. God wants you to be used. It doesn't matter if you're 6 or 16 or 66 or who knows what else. I had a guy told me this week, he said, scientists have said that if everything went just right, that these bodies are actually at this time able to live to be 140. He's 70 years old, and he said, so I'm a middle-aged. I like his thought. I don't know what that had to do with this message. We need to quit making excuses and let God use us. Amen? And quit waiting for somebody else to do it because we think somebody else is more capable. Because God can use you. He's the enabler. Amen? Yeah. If God wants you to stand behind this pulpit, you say, my knees would be banging against each other, they'd hear my legs. Well, somehow God would make that chime in with your thing. It might be a musical message with bass drums. You know, I don't know. You know, God can empower us and give us that ability. God wants you to teach a class. God gives you ability to do it. God wants you to do some musical things. God give you ability. And things are available there. We just need to depend upon him. Amen.